Let's see.
Paul, are you going to make a copy of the tape?
That's what we're doing.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. What is your name?
My name is David Andrew, the Herald of Manatee. I am the Herald for the Manatee Christian Journal Society, which I believe you're familiar with out of California.
I've heard the name, yes.
Okay. We established several of the Christian Journal Societies throughout the state. I was the, the Master of Ceremony during the state convention in July of last year. It was held in Avon Park, Florida. There were 75 delegates at that convention, plus there was, I believe, 4 delegates from Georgia and 2 from South Carolina, which came in to participate with the delegation. We established between then and the time I was arrested in November, on November 23rd, or the 23rd day of the 11th month, we established 2 journal societies in Brevard County, one in down in West Palm Beach, one up in Duval County, one in Leon County, and the Manatee County, and there were 2 in the process of forming, one in Orange County and the other one in Hillsborough County. Consequently, just about everything is shut down. From what I understand at this point, the only 2 societies in operation are still the one in West Palm and the 2 over in Brevard. Well, only one of them in Brevard County. The other one has had 3 of its members have been arrested since July of last year. All of them, 2 of them are out. One of them is still in jail. He's been in there, I think, since October or September of last year.
Okay, now let's back up to what you were saying about the common law court.
Okay.
You said people have been arrested over the...
Okay, Minneapolis is in all those of the common law court, which originally was 12 people were arrested under that federal warrant last year. That trial began on Monday. Jury selection was last week, and the judge barred Amia Leo himself from the courtroom on Thursday, and he has to sit in a room outside the courtroom and watch the proceedings from a video because the judge doesn't want him to defend himself.
Now, is this a federal court? Or?
It's federal court in Tampa. And there's only 8 defendants right now of the 12 on trial. I don't know what, one of them is still at large, Larry Myers. They've never picked up. Larry Myers is my partner. I also have another man, which I mentioned last night. His name is Mike. He's got at least 5 state warrants for him. Larry's got the federal warrant. We were publishing militia manual, militia literature, brochures, pamphlet, you know, informative literature, usually 1 to 4 pages, something like that. It was circulated to inform the public of what's going on.
Is this the same Lawrence Myers from Media Bypass?
What did you say?
Is this the same Lawrence Myers from Media Bypass?
No, I'm not with Media Bypass. It was the state militia.
You said Larry Myers.
Larry Myers, correct. Media?
But that's not Lawrence Myers.
No.
Okay.
No. I've talked with Media Bypass. They ran an article in April on Amia Polito. There's also a guy named Larry Moore, there was Marty Franza, and, there was 2 other guys out of Orlando that also got arrested in this federal nonsense. The newspapers say they're disciples of Neil Epelito, and they're not. They were a sister organization that had common goals and were sharing information.
You were talking about a mass arrest of paralegals, you know, your people?
Yeah, Larry Moore is a paralegal, and he had a paralegal office up in Orlando.
You said there was something like 15 paralegals or something?
Yeah, there's around 15 or 20 of us right now that have been arrested across the state.
I'm recording this conversation.
Yeah, I realize that. Jack Warner is also from Orlando. He's in jail. Marty Franza died on April 7th in a nursing home. They kept him in jail in Morgan Street Jail at the federal prison in Tampa. And they gave him no medication. no treatment. He had cancer. He got so bad, they finally put him in, last of March, they put him into a nursing home. He was there 2 weeks and he died. And Emilio Bolito himself is very sick. And he's 71 years old, I believe May is. And he's not being well treated. Any case.
Where are you?
I am in Chattahoochee, Florida State Mental Institution.
What are you charged with, or what are they calling you?
Use of the police raid on my house. My house is also a church, or a parsonage. We hold church services there. The Christian flag was flying from the front porch. The police did a Gestapo raid on my house on November the 23rd.
Under
the pretense of domestic violence, that little nice little statute, and the purpose of that was under domestic violence statute that took effect in October of this last year. I had no knowledge of such a law even being passed. If you're just so much as arrested, the police have the right to confiscate all your firearms. You cannot buy, sell, trade, or transport firearms in this state. If you are just arrested, you don't have to be convicted, just the arrest alone. Isn't that a lovely statute? And it's a misdemeanor statute. That was the grounds for them coming. I was home alone. They surrounded the house. I was sitting on the toilet of all places. They come banging on the front door, back door. They crashed in through the front rear door. They dragged me out of my bathroom, threw me on the floor in the living room, pulled a gun on my bench, shot me in the leg, took the gun, put it to my head, pulled the trigger a second time, and bullet had jammed in the first shot. And then the officer started hollering, "Shoot him, shoot him, shoot him." The other guys pulled their guns. Instead of shooting me, they started beating me on the head with their pistols. And at that point, neighbors came running, and they didn't dare do anything more. And they jerked me up and slapped cuffs on me and said, "Well, you ain't never going to see the outside of jail again." And I was charged with resisting arrest, 3 counts, aggravated assault, battery on law enforcement. They said I pulled the gun and pointed it in their face. I'm a small man like Bill. I think you've met Bill, haven't you?
No.
I weigh about 145 pounds. The one officer that jumped on me was 360 pounds. The other one's about 240, and the other one around 200 pounds. I attacked these guys right. A little bit ridiculous.
So what happened then?
In any case, EMS treated me at the scene. And 6 hours later, by the order of the sheriff himself, I was taken to the hospital for treatment. When I got there, the doctor said, "What happened to your shirt?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "It's ripped to shreds. The whole back of my shirt was just absolutely torn and shreds as if I had been beaten with a whip." I had no idea how much of a beating I had taken. Apparently, they did it with the barrel of their guns. The shirt was just shredded, absolutely in pieces. They confiscated the shirt. They confiscated everything. And they destroyed a bunch of evidence already, trying to totally cover everything up. In order for them to do a domestic violence thing, there has to be probable cause. Probable cause is based upon a complaint. My wife has never filed a complaint. She wasn't even home. And I have been told by several people who talked to her that the cops tried to force her into filing a complaint. She didn't do it. Then there has to be a warrant. It's a misdemeanor. They have to get a warrant to come in. Well, the Christian flag was flying out there. Under the international law, a police officer cannot execute a warrant under that flag. He has to wait for the party to come outside on the public right-of-way to make the arrest. He cannot go in past that flag under international and federal laws. And even on a felony charge, they can't do it unless there is what's called imminent danger. I was home alone. There's no imminent danger there whatsoever. No warrant. Okay, I have not yet to this day ever been served a complaint, a warrant, or an indictment.
How did you end up in the hospital?
The judge, after jerking me around for about 6 weeks in the county jail, kept taking me in and out of court. I went to first appearance 3 times. I went to what they called arraignment 3 times, so I'd never have been arraigned. The third time, just the judges looked at me after jerking me around the previous two, looked at me and said, "We got Mr. Chapman here. We're here for arraignment today. The court's going to enter a plea of not guilty, and we're going to set this thing for trial." I said, "Objection." And he says, "What's the matter?" I said, "Who appointed you my attorney?" Who says you can represent me? He says, get him out of here. We'll set this thing for trial. And he says, I think you're incompetent. I says, I'm going to have a psychologist have you examined by a psychologist. And it went from there. And the state law requires, which I was totally unaware of, Chapter 916. I didn't find it out until they asked the competency hearing in April, about 916. They told me they were going to do a Baker Act, which is not the 394, and I was prepared to treat that. But I get hit with 916, had no idea what it is. Under 916, it's criminal or mental insanity, criminally insane. Has nothing to do with competency whatsoever. Nothing. And what's really weird, the word competency is not even defined anywhere in the Florida state statutes.
How did they find you?
Yeah, he found me, he says his court order copies chapter 916.112 and .113. It's almost verbatim copied out of the statute in the findings of the court written by the state attorney. He accuses, and the state attorney says, I'm not capable of taking care of myself, that I am a danger to myself. In fact, I got yanked out of court. They slapped me under suicide watch, stripped me naked for 4 days in a room with a camera, and made all kinds of obscene, ridiculous reports of accusations against me, and said, well, I never got out of bed, so therefore he was depressed. Well, how am I going to get out of bed if I ain't got any clothes? It was women watching me on the camera, really smart. One day I was on the toilet and I heard them laughing. I jumped up and there was three of them standing out there looking at me on the monitor. Really, really a nice situation in the county jail down there, Highland.
So have you been sentenced to a period of time?
I have not been sentenced. I have not been tried. What the judge did is order me to be sent here to Chattahoochee for 6 months. He ordered me to be administered court-ordered psychogenic or psychotropic drugs to alter my mind.
So you've been given drugs?
No. The psychiatrist, the second day, looked at me and says, you ain't crazy. I says, that's what I've been trying to tell everybody. He says, we're not going to give you any drugs. At this point, they had me in for a review last Thursday, and they told me that they had been ordered to keep me another, they were going to release me last week, and they said, no, they've been ordered to keep me in 60 more days, and they assured me that they would not give me any drugs during that period of time, but I'm still stuck here in jail. I've been 195 days, and I'm supposed to be brought to trial within 170. But by putting me here, the judge got around. He ordered the suspension of the right to speedy trial by doing this.
Well, so you're still in the psych ward?
Yes, I have filed 20 petitions with the court, including a motion for trial by jury. And after he found me to be incompetent, he said, I hereby deny your request or your petition for trial by jury.
Sure, you can do anything you want at that point.
Yeah, it's totally, arbitrary and capricious. It was long before the competency hearing. And every time we filed for notice of hearing or motion for hearing, it's been denied, denied, denied. 20 petitions I have filed with the court, everyone's been denied.
Do you know anyone else?
But a habeas corpus for the U.S. District Court. It was assigned to a federal judge. That federal judge never even responded to the habeas corpus. Another federal judge said that the motion for habeas corpus was frivolous and without merit, and therefore was recommended to be dismissed. A petition for habeas corpus is not frivolous or without merit as long as the detainee is still within the jail. I filed a felony complaint against that judge for criminal trespass upon my case. The judge who assigned the case then immediately answers it back and says, I take this as your response and we hereby close this case.
What had you done to provoke this happening to you initially before they arrested you?
I am the editor of the Florida State Militia manual, magazine, and flyers that we publish up. Two other members of my staff have warrants for their arrest. They have gone underground. William Bierman, one of which is Larry Myers, which has a federal warrant. The other man's name is Mike, and I won't give out his last name, but he has a couple of state warrants for his arrest. They're totally bogus. He's a paralegal, and a darn good paralegal. One of the best there is. And they're trying to shut us all down. Then last week they issued the writ of bodily attachment for Bill Bierman, and he has gone underground. The guy's 74 years old. What do you think his chances are of surviving in Highlands County Jail? They beat prisoners there who don't cooperate. I got beat 3 times because I refused to sign paperwork. I got beat once or twice for refusing to sign papers. Once I got beat because I refused to bow to the judge. I was beat right in the courtroom with cameras and all on there, and they refused to give me a copy of the film. Total cover-up. Everything swept totally under the rug. I was harassed, threatened, intimidated.
Now, where are you exactly in Florida?
All right. Now I am at Chattahoochee, Florida State Institution. I am what's new, in what's called the New Forensic Facility. It is in the far eastern portion of this facility. There's over 1,000 prisoners here total. There's about 5 or 6 different compound divisions. This one here is what they consider, I guess, medium to maximum security. It depends on what your rating is. It could be medium or max. I'm right now under medium security watch, though Highlands County sent some moron up here. Is supposed to be citizen's watch to protect my rights, and I tried to talk to him about the beatings and the abuse, and I've been told 2 more prisoners have been beat since I left down there a month ago, both of them black women. Nothing's being done. This guy, when he left here, he told the guards here that they shouldn't have lowered my security risk, that I should be kept under maximum security, and I should be chained, and that I'm very dangerous, and that there's people outside that are trying to kill me, and they may break into this prison to kill me. It's all bogus. I don't know if Bill sent you any stuff on that. Well, I was in Collins County Jail. I was kept in chains when I wasn't in my cell. I was kept in solitary numerous times while I was there, or in some real grungy cells. The cell I spent the most time in were cells that were steel walls, steel ceiling, concrete floors, steel benches, bed, everything painted with lead paint. Everything, walls, ceiling, everything painted with lead paint. Terrible. Terrible, horrible conditions.
Do you happen to know the address of the facility?
Where I'm at now, it can be done by a P.O. box. I have no idea what the street address is. We're just off of Highway 90 in Chattahoochee. I can be reached here if anyone wants to reach me. It's David Andrew, the Herald of Manatee.
Okay, you had given me a different name before.
Yeah, this is the name I have gone by since May of last year. That is my proper Christian appellation or Christian name.
Okay.
You have known me in the past by David Payne as well.
Okay.
Okay, that as a militia leader, I'm known by as David Payne. But my lawful Christian appellation is David Andrew.
Okay.
That's the other thing we recovered too, is that last year we had 75 delegates for the Christian Journal Society of Florida met in Avon Park. I was the master of ceremonies. We had John Quaid and Randy Lee there as guest speakers.
Yes.
And we had a convention. There was 2 delegates from South Carolina and 4 from Georgia that also came to the convention. We were trying to reestablish the government of Florida. We have the Journal Societies established, 2 in Brevard, 1 in West Palm, 1 in Duval, 1 in Leon, and 1 which I am the herald of in Manatee County. There was 2 others in the process of being established, 1 in Kissimmee and the other one in Hillsborough County. Right now, the only ones left in operation that I know is 1 in Brevard and 1 in West Palm. 3 guys from one of the societies in Melbourne have been arrested. 2 are out on bail, and the other one is still in jail, no bond.
Who is initiating these attacks?
It is being done. If you read the article in April issue of Media Bypass, there's a judge in Orlando who has been coordinating this stuff throughout the country, and they said they had another meeting in February, these judges around the country, and it tells you right in the Media Bypass that they were conspiring to shut down common law courts and pro se litigant operations.
Yes, I read that article.
And let me see, I was going to put that judge's name here on the tape. Judge Belvin, B-E-L-V-I-N, Perry, Chief Judge of the 9th Circuit State Court of Orlando.
Is that Perry with a P?
P-E-R-R-Y.
Okay, let's go back to your mailing address.
Okay, the mailing location, addresses are for businesses. My is David Andrew, the Herald of Manatee. There's a comma between Andrew and Z. Z should have a capital T. Please do not spell my name in all caps. Use upper and lower, correct English grammar. Never use capitalization. Okay, then it should be in care of Unit 23A, -4, P.O. Box 1000. Chattahoochee. Chattahoochee. Florida. Florida must be spelled out. Florida. Zip code needs to be in brackets, and it's 32324. That's proper addressing of the location. You've got the phone number here is 904-663-9271. There's been a trust fund, I don't know if you're interested in it, there's been a trust fund set up for me to try to raise funds for legal defense cost. I've already spent over $18,000 while I've been in jail. This nice little judge in their kangaroo course down there have seized two pieces of property having houses on them that I owned in Lake Placid, Florida. One was worth about $125,000, and the other one was worth somewhere around around $65,000. They confiscated both of them. One of them, they transferred the deed to another party arbitrarily without ever notice or ever having a hearing or any kind of service by me whatsoever. The other one, they seized and sold it on the courthouse steps for $100. And they tell me, have a nice day. I'm kept in jail. I can't even defend my property. Nothing.
How do I spell manatee?
Manatee is M-A-N-A-T-E-E.
Okay. Do you know, how do you know what's happening with Eppolito and that whole situation?
I'm keeping in contact with the people in Tampa. I talked to them again last night. Richard, can you give me just a second here?
Sure.
They're asking me to do something.
Yeah.
Give me a second. Where do we leave off? Did you want that trust thing?
You can give me the information.
Okay, the information on the trust, it's called Lex Rex, L-E-X-R-E-X, two words, trust fund. And it's at P.O. Box 1701, Sebring, Florida, 33871. And I don't know where Bill is right now.
I haven't heard from him.
No, you ain't. He's got problems. He had to go underground. He packed his stuff. Also, too, the other thing that's really cute to show that the coordination of this, the warrant was issued for his arrest, I believe, on the 5th, or the writ of attachment was issued by the circuit judge on the 5th. And they said, well, we'll bring him into court to have gained the jurisdiction. And this goes back to a case, oh, it's been a long time since I've studied. I ought to probably look it up, where a homeless man was picked up in Connecticut, sleeping on a park bench, and they charged him with vagrancy and something else, and they were going to try him, and the guy gets in the court, and the judge says, where do you live? He says, I live in a park. He says, that ain't good enough. I got to have an address. He says, well, I don't have an address. I sleep on a park bench. He says, that's my home. And the judge says, I'm going to hold you in contempt and confine you to the county jail for 10 days. Well, they put him in the jail 10 days. They brought him back. And the judge says, where do you live? He says, I live in the park. And he says, no, you don't. You've lived in the county jail for the last 10 days. You now have an address. That was a case at least 10 or 15 years ago. And that is what they are right now trying to do to Bill Bierman. By doing the writ of attachment, they throw his butt in jail. They'll hold him there for 30 days if he can live that long, because they'll beat the shit out of him. As what they're doing to almost everyone is in the pro se movement or in the Juror Society. Bill has filed several abatements, just like I had. I filed 6 when I got arrested, and that's really what they went after me. They hate me more for being with the Juror Society than they hate me for being part of the militia. They didn't like the abatements that we were serving. 8 other people have done abatements in the county. One woman had done 2, and she got arrested on both of them. And each time she bailed out the first one and was going to fight it, they hit her again on the next time she did an abatement. And she finally just looked at the judge and says, how much is it going to take to get the dogs off my back? And she paid them. It cost her about $5,000, but she got the dogs off her back, and she quit filing abatements against them. They are absolutely scared to death of these abatements. I have done six while I've been in jail. They figured by putting me here, they'd stop me.
How do you know about the other 15 paralegals being arrested?
Newspapers as well as contacts with other friends. Mia Bolito, Susan Modak, and I told you, Larry Moore, Marty Franza, who is now dead. He died in their custody on April the 7th. Jack Warner. And there's a whole bunch more. There's total, what's his name? Brown, Toby Brown. He's from the Jural Society over in Melbourne. There's several more. I can't think of all the names.
These are all common law people,
don't all common law, either common law court, pro se litigants, or members of the Christian Jural Society. Melbourne, Orlando, and Tampa area for the most part, or Manatee County is where they're coming from. There's 174 names issued by the U.S. Attorney out of Tampa saying he calls them the unindicted. There's another one I can cover, too.
What is his name?
The U.S. Attorney?
Yep.
Give me a second. I got that right here. There's two names on here. The actual attorney is Charles R. Wilson, and it's signed by Ernest F. Pelusso, United States Attorney number 054, Assistant United States Attorney. And this list is really ridiculous, like with Jack Warner. His mother's name is even on here, and she's never had anything to do with this. You know, Jack's around 58 years old. They put his mother. His mother's in her, all around 80 years old, okay? And Amelia Polito's wife on here. She's in her 70s. She's never had anything to do with this. There's several people's wives or mothers that are on this list. Most of them, I've looked down through several on here, 70s and 80 years old. There's an old man on here by the name of, he's at least 80, most likely 85 years old. Let's see, where's his name? William C. Burke. The guy's at least 80, 85 years old. What kind of threat or danger? And they circulated this to law enforcement now. This list was published by the U.S. Attorney's Office.
And they call them the unindicted.
Yeah, they call them the unindicted. This list was published on, let me see. Oh, this is what's cute, is that this document is signed. It's a notice to defendants of unindicted co-conspirators and Federal Rule of Evidence 404 sub B. And it briefly talks about the unindicted. It also brings about that Larry Myers is never yet. He's still at large in here.
What's the date on it?
That is the real problem. I believe this thing was actually filed on April the 9th, I think it was, is the actual date it was filed.
Where was it filed?
In the United States District Court in Tampa. The problem is there is no date anywhere on this document. Zip, zero, none. He signed the document, and he never dated it.
And is there a letterhead on it?
No, it's not a letterhead. It's got the
legal document.
Legal, the United States District Court, Middle District, Tampa, Florida Division, United States of America versus Mia Bolito, et cetera.
Okay.
Case number 96-64-CR-T-23-E in brackets.
Okay, that I needed.
Okay, that's the case. This can be gotten from Carolyn Weiss out of Grassroots Journal. Carolyn's name is on here. She's the publisher of the Grassroots Journal, which is a legal publication for paralegals or pro se litigants dealing with crime and corruption of the court. She has already been informed by the Sheriff's Office and the U.S. Attorney's Office as she publishes her next edition, which will be carrying a story on me and carrying a story on Amelia and all the rest of them, and several other things are going on, crime and corruption in jails, that she will be immediately arrested and charged with conspiracy to overthrow the government. And she said she's still going to publish it, so she will be the next one in jail. It's due to be published within the next 10 days.
What's your next step?
Okay. I have filed, after filing the get screwed around with the heaviest corpse done, I have filed a petition to have have the judge recused. Of course, he's not going to do that. I charged him on the state level with 17 violations of or 27 violations of the Florida state constitution, numerous procedural violations, as well as violations of oath. I've now got a copy of his oath. It's incomplete. It's never been properly filled out. And as you know, the cold needle oath, this is what's really cute. Last September the 23rd was Yom Kippur, and they take the Kol Nidre oath on, and he did admit that he was a fellow traveler in the courtroom, and he brought the subject up, I didn't, and he said, what did that have to do with it, and I told him it had everything to do with it. The Kol Nidre oath is taken on Yom Kippur, which is the 23rd of September. Both him and Judge Durrance, who are the two judges who have done this to me, signed their document on the 19th of September, the other one signed it on the 20th. And the Kol Nidre says that you hereby revoke and negate all oaths that you have taken in the previous year. That's real convenient. Within 3-4 days, they take an oath of office, and then they negate the oath of office. Now, within less than a week. Really a nice little cute game. And they're not completely filled out. At the bottom it says, sign on line 5 after completing line 4. Line 4 says, give your address. They're blank. No address. They don't want people to know how they can be reached. Also, I've been trying to get a hold of where their insurance company is and their bonding agents. And nobody will release that information in this state. We've tried it on several judges and U.S. or state attorneys. We cannot get it. And that's public information, and it's being denied the access to. I don't even think these guys have got a bond, if the facts are known. Because how can they have a bond when they don't even have a valid oath? The bond is to bond that oath. And if the oath is not valid, then how can there even be a bond? I don't know if you understand that procedure of law or not.
I do.
Okay. Most people will look at me kind of silly, and they don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, you're referring to the David Miller. You're referring to David Miller, I presume.
No, I have seen the David Miller's tape, but I didn't know that does he cover that?
Yes.
I didn't know that he actually covered that. I've tried to reach David Miller, and he won't return my phone calls. I don't know what I've got. I've got his books, and I watched a six-hour video of his before I ended up in jail.
Well, he's constantly on the road, so.
Most of what he's got is pretty decent, but I can't ever understand why he uses everything in all caps, because that's fictional and it's fraud, and why participate in their fraud. And we did manage to get both the Christian flag and the United States flag apiece into the courtroom. And the judge was real set. It was a little game I played. I had Bill try to bring it in the court, and he wouldn't let Bill pass it over the bar. But I had an attorney walk in, and he walked through the bar, and he was wearing the United States flag of peace. And sat there the whole time watching the proceedings. And then when I got all done, I informed the judge that the attorney was wearing the flag, and even though he didn't let Bill cross with the flag did cross, and his flag had been captured. The thing that Miller is using wrong, he's using Title 4, Section 1. He should be using Title 4, Section 3. If you read the last part of Section 3, it says anything that can be resembles or can be assumed to be an assimilation of the United States flag. Where the first one, Title 1, says it's got to be exact. In Section 3, it says anything that has resemblance or can be assumed by anyone that is what is intended to mean is the United States flag. It's a whole lot better statute to use than one, because usually what you're wearing on a lapel or a little paper flag are not, quote, an exact flag. Mm-hmm. They're just an approximity thereof.
I don't want this tape to get too unwieldy lengthwise.
Do you want to get do you want Carolyn's phone number and address?
Sure.
Maybe you want to talk with her. It's Grassroots Journal, and it's P.O. Box 7352, St. Petersburg, 33734. Her husband's name is Bill, and it's Carolyn Weiss. And I believe it's W-I-S-E or W-I-S-S. I'm not sure which.
Do you have a phone number?
Phone number is 813-898-7651. Her fax line is 898-3788. She'll be in jail before the month's out.
Okay, anything else you want to close with?
I guess I got the beatings on the tape. I don't know if we discussed that before or not. It's sad. And a lot of the people that are on this hit list, that was that the attorney general, or U.S. attorney, has been giving this to various law enforcement agencies, and they're being informed off the record to stop these unruly or dangerous people, most of which are either elderly or people who are totally harmless, for traffic violations, and then try to escalate it and push them into some sort of a confrontation so you can charge them with resisting arrest or a fall on a battery on a Leo or something of that nature. That way they can be detained for an indefinite period of time in jail or end up where I'm at in a nut house. That is the mentality that's going on. And the issue with this domestic violence one, too, that's interesting. Over 600 law enforcement officers in the state of Florida since October have been arrested and charged under the same statute. Most of the officers that are being charged with it are some of the best officers that we got in this state. What they're trying to do is get rid of them.
Police officers?
Police officers, yes, sir. The jail I was in, six officers right there in the county jail were arrested while I was in jail and charged with that same charge. My dad's attorney has been charged with that same charge. Anyone who is trying to stand up for rights or anyone who is defending, you know, this country is being removed from public place because you're not wanted in the New World Order. And they are using this statute because, I told you, they are confiscating guns under this domestic violence statute on just solely the basis. This has to do with something that Jan Arino did. And they're using it, and there's no official state statute. It's some sort of federal law, but yet I've been charged under battery under a state statute, but yet they're using the federal statute, which I don't even know what the number is, to charge me and to try to confiscate my weapons. Thankfully, I was able to bond out on $60,000 bail. Within 4 days, I got eight men. We went to the house, and in less than 15 minutes, we loaded all the guns and ammunition, and it was gone. And what was cute is the captain of the guard, when I got out, he called me in the office when I bailed out. The jailers were trying to keep me there, and the captain called me into his office. He says, David, get the hell out of here. Get to your house now and get as much as you can. He says, the cops are trying to get a search warrant. He says, they are trying to seize all your property. And I said, I've got men waiting. He says, go now. We were there about 2 hours, and they came in just like they did before with a bunch of cops to order me off my own property. I have been court-ordered not to trespass on my own property for 12 months. Plus, there's a court order for me not to talk to my wife or my son and for them not to contact me. Isn't that a lovely court order?
Is there any? Do you have a phone number or a way to contact your wife?
I don't have a phone. It's the only way she could be reached, and she probably would be upset if I gave it, but I can give it to her. It's where she works. She works at Barnett Bank, and the number there is 385-5383.
What is her name?
Her name is Carol Chapman.
Pardon the last name?
Chapman.
Okay.
I don't know if she'll talk to you or not. She has been pretty much on a rampage. Her brother even went to the house the other day to get some stuff for me, and she ordered him off the property. Her own brother.
Okay, I understand.
So, and she told some friends, and she told me just before the cops had got there, she was there when we were taking the stuff, that the cops had threatened her and my son, and she was scared to death, and that she didn't want any trouble, that just trying to get this thing to go away. But forced her into signing a restraining order, but that restraining order was against her and me. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And the captain there at jail told me that the police pulled her out of work and took her to the judge and forced her to sign the damn thing. And when they served it on me at the house, the guy said, we'd have got this done a lot sooner if we knew you were going to be able to get out this quick. And they were going to do a search and all, but the judge didn't give them the search warrant. It wouldn't have done them any good because we'd already moved it. And let me see. About 4 days later, they issued another warrant for my arrest based on that I was in possession of two armor-piercing bullets. There's no such statute. But they charged, I'm looking at 15 years per bullet in state penitentiary for possession of two different bullets. I've got cases of them. Anybody who has military, full-jacketed armor bullets, you've got armor-piercing bullets. It's not illegal to possess. So in 1994, BATF made it illegal to sell, but it's not illegal to possess. And I've been sitting in jail now for 6 months based on possession of honor pierced bills, and they put a $50,000 bond on it. I couldn't raise any more money. I'm broke. They've taken everything, and so I couldn't raise any money by selling the houses. They've confiscated it, and they've been doing this to everybody. Minneapolis, they seized over $250,000, no, $2.5 million worth of real estate from a million. There's a contractor that's here in this mental institution with me, Mr. Hill. He's been here now 3 years. He's not on any medication either. They tried to court order him last week. He beat him in court on that. Still doesn't have medication, but he's going to have to go back to court again in about 3 weeks or something on more charges they're trying to bring us in. They've confiscated over $3 million worth of his property while he's been here. It's pathetic. There's a contractor from Gainesville who is also here, and they're trying to seize his properties and businesses. And there is a mental institution, state-run mental institution, in Gainesville, but they shipped him all the way here. They shipped me all the way here. It's 360 miles from where I came. Gainesville is about 200. None of it makes any sense. What they did is they put me as far away as they could from where I live so that none of my friends or family could visit. 360 miles is too far to go. Gainesville, 200, they might have been able to, you know, come visit on the weekend or something like that. But that's the madness behind the thing. There's also a preacher that came in here last week from Miami. He's charged with domestic violence. It's ridiculous. It's an absolute ridiculous thing. He was arrested 2 months ago, and because he got into the courtroom and started preaching to the judge that he needed Jesus Christ,